It's Koshkarsh time, and on Liverpool's chance to shine, they end up polishing the Palace's crystal. Hull mull it over as Eric sends them to defeat, and Arsenal contemplate hiring Bill Murray as manager if this Groundhog Day thing keeps up. We also shine the Kosh light on Serie A, where AC Milan look briefly menacing before reverting to the norm, and Napoli basically pull an Arsenal. Finally, there's a mammoth moo-moo section and Mohamed's scouting report. Enjoy! Welcome back to the Koshcast. My name is Alex, and we are down in Nigerian today, but I am joined by the lovely Mohamed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What the hell was that, man?
I found a whistle recently.
Yeah.
And I've just been... I can't stop
blowing. You thought you'd bring it to the podcast?
Yeah, I think this will make a great addition.
You thought, podcasting, that's the place for a whistle.
I thought, how do you replace Bernie?
Yeah.
With a whistle.
Fair enough. We'll see how that goes. I'm not encouraged by that. Roche, you are in a lovely hat. How are you?
I'm good, except I must point out that the whistle is actually mine. Mohamed's taken it. He's taken it from me.
That's true. Mohamed has robbed a whistle and brought it to the podcast.
Yeah.
Excellent. How was your weekend?
It was good. A lot of games to watch. Most notably, I noticed a video recapping scores.
Yeah.
And the gentleman narrating the scores said it in such a...
Radio.
How do you
voice.
Say? Je ne sais quoi.
Are you talking about the former BBC?
Yes, yes, it was
okay.
Him.
Another one.
And the way he said the scores was just, it was so.
Yeah,
eloquent.
No, I feel bad because I forget his name, but he recently passed away. But he's brilliant, like absolutely brilliant.
He was brilliant, yeah. But no, there were a lot of games to watch, and
yeah, I mean the EPL was crazy this week.
I'm representing both the Manchester United contingent.
Oh yeah, because we're down one today.
And he's in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. America.
He flew United to get there.
He better. So yeah, well, I mean, we could start with that game.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I guess. Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Good. So what was the score with that, Alex?
The score was Arsenal 1, Manchester United 2.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
I mean, the game was so, like, I can't explain. Like, I mean, Arsenal at home came out of the blocks much better than United. United really didn't offer much, let's say, the whole first half. Arsenal looked really good. They pressured United really high, made them make a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers. Wilshere was, you know, phenomenal before he got injured. And it looked like Arsenal should have had, like a 2-3-0 lead at least in the first half.
You know what's interesting to note is that I expected exactly this to happen from this game. I mean, I think everyone expected it to be one-way traffic.
Before, right?
Yeah, and it seems to be a pretty,
repetitive.
Yeah, it's a very predictable game when you're playing Arsenal.
Yeah.
You just stop them from playing their game, and you play yours, and United came up with a victory, and it could have been 3-0.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I totally agree with that. Teams have worked out how to do that. On the other hand, this time, this game was a little stranger because United didn't stop Arsenal playing their game. Arsenal very successfully played their game. They just didn't finish the 4 or 5 really good chances that they had.
Welbeck had a really good header up close. Wilshere had like almost an open goal at one point.
Unbelievable one-on-one.
And there was a lot of good chances.
There were.
Again, like, is it Arsene Wenger's fault that the player can't finish in front of goal? Like,
who knows?
I mean,
it's bizarre. And I think it's especially unfortunate for Arsene Wenger because he often comes in for criticism for not having a game plan in these big games. He just kind of says, go out, attack, play, you know, express yourself. And that's probably true. But in this game, he very clearly had a plan.
Yeah.
It was to like blitz them, do a Liverpool last season.
High pressure
up front, you know, create chances early, try and blow them away in the first half. And it really, really worked, apart from the finishing.
Yep.
I think
ultimately he's left with the same result that happens every time.
No, yeah, that's exactly why Welbeck was sold to Arsenal, to not finish. So in that sense,
specifically.
I'd say Van Gaal 1, Wenger 0.
Well, I mean, now the stats are going to start going with the whole how many times has Wenger beaten Van Gaal and all that.
Yeah, but I did see something about Arsene Wenger saying that the Arsenal defense was naive in the game.
Mm-hmm. Especially at 1-0 down.
Yeah, but, I mean, Arsene Wenger criticizing his defense for being naive is a bit out of place, I'd say. I'd say that Arsene Wenger deserves criticism for his tactics being naive.
Oh, absolutely.
To begin with.
I mean, yeah, it is weird to see a manager say, I don't know why there was no one defending the back from the corner. Like, that's such a weird thing to say. I don't know why. Like, I mean, who tells them? Who says everybody attack a corner or, you know, keep two guys back, keep one? Who says that? It's the manager, right?
And despite the whatever the instructions were to begin with, if you're the manager and it's 1-0 and you see all your players in the opposition box for a corner, why don't you go to the edge of your technical area
and tell them,
shout and tell someone to move back? I mean, this is not rocket science.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Bold has a pretty shouty voice. He could have done it.
He does. Very allegedly, Wenger asks him not to do that. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I mean, this is United's first road win.
First road win of the season,
courtesy of Arsenal.
Thank you, guys. But I want to talk about Arsenal a little bit because Wenger's coming under fire again.
Yes. Hashtag Wenger out is again
64% of the votes are saying, you know, Arsenal, Arsene Wenger isn't the man to take Arsenal.
What vote is
this? ESPN SoccerNet.
Okay.
I know it's not your favorite website.
No, it's reasonable. ESPN's decent. Better than FotMob.
But yeah, if there was to be change at Arsenal, it should be soon.
Well, it won't be, because the board won't sack him and he won't...
Even if he doesn't make top four?
Yeah, no, the board will not sack Arsene Wenger.
No, he won't.
He won't leave on a three-year contract. So
the Arsenal board was a little more forthcoming when you were manager of Arsenal recently.
thanks for bringing that up.
That's very good. He did, just to make it clear.
Please tell us, Alex.
I might have got sacked as Arsenal manager on Football Manager.
Very nice.
The season was going very badly. Don't sign Jordy Classy.
Anyway, so yeah, the game ended, like we said, 2-1. Giroud did score for Arsenal, just to recap.
Brilliant finish.
Yeah. Rooney and a Gibbs own goal from a Fellaini shot. Fellaini again proving to be the resurgence in the United side that he has been for the past couple of weeks.
Couple of injuries, as usual.
Yeah, Wilshere injured, Szczesny injured.
I saw a very funny and apt tweet, I think. I apologize because I forget who it was from, but they said, what position does Fellaini play? It's a very odd one. If anything, I'd call it a disruptive midfielder, which I think is true. Like, he just kind of follows the ball and just annoys people.
Yeah, he's there to chest the ball out of the air.
A lot of the play for United, to be fair, was up to Fellaini, and then when he brings it down, then we start playing. Anyway, so yeah, that's enough with that game. It was pretty disappointing.
It was a feisty game, though.
It was.
We have to say that Wilshere going on to Fellaini.
Yeah,
even though he was a head shooter,
that was funny.
I'd appreciated the fight.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that too. I mean, at the end too, when Di Maria was kind of holding onto the ball in the corner, a couple of Arsenal players weren't having it.
A little more spice to be added to this fixture.
Well, there was also Chelsea this weekend. Chelsea playing West Brom. Alex, what was the score on that one?
Chelsea 2, West Bromwich Albion 0.
I love it.
Perfect.
I mean, main culprits, Diego and Hazard scoring goals.
This one was done from Costa. Yeah, it was brilliant. Two brilliant finishes.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit generous for Hazard. Yeah. I mean, he kind of smashed it and bobbled around a bit. Anyway, it was a good goal.
It was bad defending.
He
hit it with feeling. Yeah.
But this match, rather, was done early on. Chelsea were up 2-0, and then a red card for West Brom inside 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's over.
But at that point, they never scored anymore, eh?
I mean, yeah, you got to give credit to West Brom for hanging in there for an hour and not conceding any more goals. I mean, at that point, that would have been the height of their ambitions.
You're right. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that Chelsea had one eye on the Champions League games in the midweek, and they're like, you know what, that's it, game's over, let's just hold on to the ball.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right, because there was a segment of play that I saw that Chelsea were trying to play the ball out of defence, but they did it with such flair that you couldn't tell that they were actually the ones defending.
Yeah, no, I mean, Chelsea are... I mean, Oscar had an assist, Fabregas had an assist, everybody had a great day at the office.
That Oscar ball in was... gorgeous.
Oh, I mean, yes, before he even got to Costa, it was a great move.
Oscar doesn't get much credit for his like passing range particularly, but that was a lovely ball.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, nothing too much to say, really. Chelsea, very customary.
In a class of their own.
Yeah, they are. They are in a class of their
own. Customary.
Customary win, true. Another feisty, exciting game over the weekend was Everton-West Ham.
Yeah.
Everton 2, West Ham 1.
Right, so who scored for Everton? Obviously Lukaku.
Lukaku scored, and I think it was Leon Osman later.
Yeah. True.
I would say that the second Everton goal was a brilliant counterattack.
Yes.
Very well executed.
That is true.
They are quick on the break. Yeah. They got a lot of pace.
Yeah. West Ham...
especially Gareth Barry.
Mauro Zarate for West Ham.
I remember watching the game and then texting you guys saying, oh my god, old Allardyce is back. Because I turned on the game, and I didn't catch the lineup, so I thought I'd figure it out from the screen. And I saw Carlton Cole, I'm like... okay,
And then slowly I saw Andy Carroll. I was like, okay. And then I saw Kevin Nolan. I was like, all right. Like, yeah. This is back to old West Ham.
Is Ivan Campo playing? What's going on?
Well, the thing was that I think it's because of the internationals.
Yeah.
All their Valencias and Sacos were all the way in, like, Africa.
All the Sacos.
All the Sacos,
in,
have you.
In Africa, South America, blah, blah, blah.
Not bad for a squad rotation.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but they lost.
But they lost, yeah.
They did lose. Yeah, they're out of the top four now, unfortunately. Mm. You know.
Yeah, that will dent their Champions League ambitions.
Champions League, Europa League, Championship
imagine
ambitions.
Imagine Allardyce managing the Champions League. Now, that would be incredible.
Well, he says he can do it.
Yeah. Cool.
Him and Bettner would make a good combo.
Him and Alan Pardew, who...
Pardew's rocketing up the league.
I know. So, it was Newcastle QPR this week.
What was the score?
1-0 Newcastle.
1-0 Ox.
Newcastle 1... Queen's Park Rangers, 0.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This was a battle of two teams that were in form recently. Well, Newcastle more so than QPR.
Yeah. Yeah. But QPR on the rise.
QPR on the rise.
Charlie Austin.
This time I didn't think they had too many disallowed goals.
No.
But yeah, late goal by, I believe it was Sissoko.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. 78th minute, Newcastle with another victory. They're in fifth now.
Very
unbelievable.
Nice finish. Very nice finish.
Meteoric rise up the table.
Yeah. This game actually caused Bernie to message us and say, Sissoko could do a job. For, like, United or Arsenal.
A lot of people can do jobs. It's just, yeah, it's true.
I mean, I think we said that about Jedinek, too.
Yeah, we did say that about Jedinek. But, yeah, I mean, Newcastle, QPR, I mean, this was a game that Newcastle really needed to win just to keep their run going because...
It's not going
to
last.
Not to be... Yeah, and you don't want to drop points to QPR.
No, you,
you
really don't. They're back to bottom, aren't they?
They are.
QPR at the bottom,
yeah.
Surprising. It's like they're magnetized to that 20th spot. Just no matter how well they play, they're always going to be in
last. Well, how many coaches they add.
Yeah, true. There was also a shock defeat for Stoke by Burnley.
Burnley 2, Stoke City 1.
So that was surprising.
I'm really happy for Burnley, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
two
Sean
wins.
And Sean Dyche, manager.
Burnley 2 back-to-back wins, 1 home, 1 away.
That is impressive. Excellent. I mean, see, out of nowhere, that's a Premier League. Like, you look down and out. It's the same as Pardew, same as even QPR for, you know, a little bit. And now they get 6 points out of nowhere. Danny Ings scores 2 goals in a minute.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, Stoke is not an easy place to go.
No, I think if Ings scores another 2, he'll be in the England squad or people will be shouting about
yeah.
it.
Didn't Stoke City recently beat Tottenham Hotspur?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the Boyan
strike.
That's a big win. That's a big win
that
for
is
Burnley.
Away.
Except they're still in 19th place, even with the 2 wins.
Yeah. But
well,
the thing with the teams that are trying to avoid relegation is usually you lose all, if not most, of your away games and you try and win a couple of home games. So this is invaluable. This is a great 3 points
huge.
Away from home.
Yeah.
Big
time. Next is Crystal Palace, Liverpool.
Crystal Palace 3, Liverpool 1.
This was a great game. I watched the start to finish.
Incredible.
Just regardless of the result, the pace, the tempo. Liverpool cannot play a possession game at this point because their defense is too weak and they can't bring the ball up. So most Liverpool games are, you know,
just
back
to
end to end.
Which suits Palace because
yeah.
Palace are a big, athletic, quick team. I mean, Bolasie just tore Liverpool apart
time after time. Bernie, I remember Bernie texting us going, I saw the score. Did Bolasie just keep running behind the defense? I said, no. Bolasie kept going the ball in front of the defense. And then 3 seconds later, he was behind the defense. It was incredible.
Yeah, Liverpool, what a slump. Four
yeah.
games in a row in all competitions they've lost now.
It is quite remarkable.
I think it's up to 5 with this game.
Up to 5, maybe,
yeah.
all competitions.
Mm-hmm.
But, Brendan Rodgers is feeling the heat, for
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't think that Sturridge could turn their fortunes around single-handedly at this point.
Single-handedly, no. I mean, the amount of goals, they've lacked goals.
Yeah.
They're quite simple. I mean, they've also lacked organisation
yeah.
at the back, but they lacked that, as you said, I think, on a recent podcast, they lacked that last year, too.
Yeah.
It's just that they scored enough goals to make up for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they conceded 3 goals to Crystal Palace last year, too, so it's not like they got
worse. Well, the thing is,
costly.
The whole game was built up as, this is a rerun of that, you know, we
but
go
yeah,
again.
Yeah,
game.
Christian Ball, I
believe. Yeah, Christian Ball, exactly. But the thing is, we have to give credit to Lambert, his goal. I mean, he didn't affect the game at all except for that, but his goal was brilliant. A really
yeah.
nice assist
yeah.
from Lallana with the left foot. Lambert brought it down, one touch, beautiful, finished it. I mean... He's just not good enough. That's the problem. I mean, the thing with Liverpool transfers is they bought a lot of squad players because now they're in Europe.
Yeah.
Like relative to last year. But the two guys that they bought to be starting, which are Balotelli and Lovren, are not performing whatsoever. Lovren today looked so amateurish.
He's been out of form pretty much all season, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Who is he learning from? I want to know who his tutors are.
Skrtel?
Well, yeah.
Martin
Skrtel. That's the thing. I mean, Skrtel's only a few, I mean, maybe 3-4 years older than Lovren. Yeah. He's not like a hugely senior, I mean, senior for this squad because it's a fairly young squad, but he's not, you know, the accomplished international that you're looking to kind of marshal the defense.
True, and then they had Manquillo, who's very young, and then they had
Brendan Rodgers starting center back.
Might as well.
They had Johnson playing left back.
Yeah.
The guy can barely play right back now, moving out of position. Like, it was, I don't know, but yeah, a very, very...
It's very likely that the extra fixtures are actually stretching them very thin.
I really
do. Because they're coming across some quality teams. They're in a tough group.
I mean, you saw Brendan Rodgers, he threw away the Real Madrid game last the Champions League match. He literally just put on his subs.
I disagree. I wouldn't say he threw away that game. I'd say that
he put on a squad. There's no way he thought he was going to win.
It wasn't the strongest squad, but they did perform well.
No, they did, but in hindsight. Yeah. But there's no way he put those guys on thinking, I will win this game.
Like, yeah, but he wouldn't have thought that if he had his best team out. His best team got smashed 3-0 by Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Best in inverted.
Best in inverted comments. Well, that includes Jared and Cole,
yeah.
The last game in the Premier League was Hull Tottenham.
Hull City 1, Tottenham Hotspur 2.
Pretty exciting game, actually.
So Harry Kane, your favourite player, got his customary goal when he
did.
He scores when he wants.
when he plays, he scores. It was funny to see the difference between him and Soldado. I mean, Soldado had a number of chances, and it's just you can't make it up at this point. Like, you just, everything that comes to him, he misses somehow. He finds a new way to miss. It's amazing.
The only thing that he did good this game was he got the free kick, which led to their equalizer. That's really the only thing.
Well, that's the thing. His link-up play and stuff is totally adequate. It's just when he actually comes to scoring goals, he can't. Anyway, we're jumping ahead. Livermore, former Tottenham player, scored a lovely goal.
Lovely. I mean, that's his first goal in like 5.5 hours of football.
Maybe 5.5 years.
fitting that it came against Tottenham in that case.
Yeah.
And then the red card by Gaston Ramirez. Like, come on, man. Like, look, two things. One, easily could have been a yellow to both players and move on.
Yep.
I think it was way too soft to like give. I mean, these are old, like not old, but these are like men playing a game. This is not kindergarten where you lash out, you get a red. Like, it has to be bad. You know what I mean? So for me, it was a yellow. But regardless, there's no need. You're 1-0 up. You're full control of the game. Tottenham look really bad. And then you get sent off, and now that's it.
He put his foot on the gas, Tom.
I would say so, yes.
That's very kind of you.
But yeah, and then Eriksen came up. He had a man of the match performance.
To be fair.
90th minute winner. Mm-hmm. That's the second time in recent weeks that Tottenham have scored and a late goal.
Yeah, they do that quite often.
Get the 3 points.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. And
now Tottenham have climbed up the table, so they are actually in 10th place.
So they're.
But the difference between 4th and 10th is 2 points.
Yeah.
So they're up there.
No, I'll bring Bernie into it again. He said this weekend, the Premiership is on drugs. And it is kind of. Like, it's just an insane league this year. Chelsea are way out ahead of
Chelsea
everyone.
But then everyone else is like.
And everyone else is totally compact.
Chelsea are sober.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I think that's it for the Premier League. We should move on to Momo of the Week.
This week on Moomoo of the Week, we've got three light-hearted affairs. Roche, want to start with you?
I will begin, yes, this week. My candidate is Gervinho. And this is because, with that big forehead, you know, normally it's a sign of intelligence.
I was wondering whether you're going to get through this without mentioning
that.
I don't think we can. Yeah.
So Gervinho's forehead's in size, you know, belies his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was that Gervinho was coming back from the Ivory Coast and Cameroon fixture to Italy, and he wanted to bring along a female companion with him, who was obviously unauthorized to be flying. And so at the immigration checkpoint, or when he was boarding his private jet, he paid off the four workers, Ivorian workers before going on to his flight. And so they were all like, yeah, okay, sure, buddy. And so he goes to his flight captain, he's like, yeah, so I just paid off the four Ivorian workers over here. You know, we can bring this extra person on board. And the captain's like, no. Captain's obviously Italian.
Yeah.
So he's like, no. And so he had to leave back his female companion. And obviously all the four workers lost their jobs.
This sounds like a tale, like a child.
I really hope Gervinho is going to employ them in some capacity.
You can't. So Gervinho basically is a result. I mean, is the reason why these four gentlemen have lost their jobs. But it's probably for the better. So I guess he's done society a good thing by getting rid of these four people who could easily get paid off to do something like that.
I mean, the next four, they'll be others.
Yeah.
That's my candidate is Adebayor. which, you know, brings me a lot of joy.
Last week's murmur, last week's scouting report.
Yeah, just the gift that keeps on giving. So recently, news came out that a year ago, he evicted his mother from their house in Togo.
Evicted,
yeah. Wow. So the reason, Roche, when you hear the reason, you'll be on his side. He says he accuses her of doing some sort of voodoo magic against him, which he calls juju,
yeah,
which is a great name. So she does juju against Adebayor, and he evicts her, and he, like, all the relationship with him and her and the family is completely destroyed, and now he's saying that his career is going to get cut short because of this voodoo stuff, and he, like, truly believes that this is the reason, like, something bad's going to happen to him.
He thinks she's trying to wreck his career.
Yes.
That's really interesting, because I think Adebayor could not walk for the first 4 years of his life.
No, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah, he had serious leg issues.
Wow. So why would his mom do voodoo magic?
Because he evicted her a year ago.
But why did he evict her?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe her bathroom habits were horrible. Could have been anything.
Yeah. Maybe her voodoo habits.
Maybe her cooking was useless.
Well, he's getting old. I mean,
he's 29. 30.
Yeah, old, not in real life. Old in football. But sure. You know what? These two are great, but for me, Alex's is
a terrible situation.
I'd
love to hear Alex's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not just because I'm reading it, but I do think this guy wins. Kirill Kombarov, who comes from my favourite country, plays for FC Torpedo Moscow.
Torpedo.
He's just gone and hired a bear for his 2-year-old son's birthday party.
Like an actual bear.
An actual bear. Like a circus bear.
Like a panda or like a grizzly?
No, it's a grizzly.
Oh no.
So he's just in his living room. The trainer with the bear.
He posted pictures of it on his social media, and in the pictures the trainer is not present.
Okay.
So it's just a bear in a tie and a muzzle. It's like, and there's one bear. Picture there's one picture of his 2-year-old son dressed as a cowboy riding the bear.
No.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
So, I mean, this is just wrong on so many levels, but quite amusing.
Wait, so, okay, up to the point where there was a bear, it was fine, I could let it go, but his kid was on the bear's back?
Yes. The bear was wearing a tie.
The bear was lying down.
That is the part that gets me.
That's the next thing. Who put that tie on the bear? I want to know who did that.
Hopefully the trainer.
Oh, the bear had a muzzle.
It's a bear.
It can kill all of them.
You don't care about a trainer or a muzzle, it's a bear. Wow, that's so 2-year-old, eh? So what happens next year?
I don't know. Yeah. Where'd you go from bear? Yeah. Ride the lion, son.
Right. Wait, is he muzzled? As long as the lion's muzzled.
The lion is muzzled.
All right, guys, that's the end of the Moment of the Week segment. And you know,
pick your candidate.
Kirill Kombarov 1, Grizzly Bear 0.
That's good.
That's brilliant.
Well, I mean, there's more scores to talk about, Alex, so you're going to get to do that more often.
No, that's all right. I'm done.
What?
I think those scores are reserved for the English league.
All right, fine. BBC, 5, Live, whatever.
It wouldn't work with the Italians. Yeah.
That's true.
That's
Cagliari.
I mean, if you know numbers in Italian.
Piacenza.
Piacenza. Interesting fact about Piacenza. I don't know why you just mentioned them, but they once were so corrupt, or run by someone so corrupt, that they hired as a player the son of Colonel Gaddafi.
No.
He played, I think, 1 or 2 games for them.
Was this like Serie A or Serie B?
They were in Serie A at the time. It was like late 90s, early
2000s. Impressive.
Yeah.
The corruption is in line with FIFA's corruption, so it's nothing really.
I mean, this is pretty next level.
From
the seeds of that current FIFA exists.
I mean, this is worse than Alex Ferguson Moyes nepotism.
Yeah,
sure.
Anyway, so back to Syria,
yes.
To the continent, as we usually say. Roma got a very important 3 points away to Atlanta.
Yes.
Atalanta. Who scored there? Actually, I don't know, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot.
I know that Nainggolan got one.
Oh, yes, and the new guy who replaced Totti this game. I don't remember his name. He's not new, but like I said, he replaced Totti in the starting lineup.
Iturbe?
No. He replaced him. Like, he's kind of new. Maybe. But the point is, he scored a brilliant goal. Like, he came off the right, cut in, beautiful outside of, like, this curler. It was magnificent. And then, like you said, Nainggolan scored a goal.
Yeah, Nainggolan. So Roma doing what they do, beating the small teams.
Yeah. His haircut is pretty...
It's intense.
It is intense.
Yeah.
3 points for Roma, and...
As usual, I guess, for Roma.
There was another game that was kind of important, which was Lazio versus Juventus.
Yeah.
And it turned out a bit one-sided in the end there with Juventus bagging the points. 3 goals.
Tevez, another fantastic performance.
Yeah. Oh, Pogba.
Yes,
what a goal. Pogba, like, you know, people, like, I wasn't paying too much attention to Pogba, to be fair, until recently. And people, a lot of people come out saying, like, you know, people in the trade, not saying that Pogba is a possible future Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah, well, this is why Rochet and Bernie cry about him leaving Man United all the
time. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, imagine him. Yeah, imagine him. He would be like a Yaya Touré 2.0, but much younger for United.
That position is literally waiting for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, he had another brilliant game for Juve. 2 goals. Tevez with the first assist. The first touch for his first goal just set it up so beautifully. Yes,
plucked it out, this guy.
It was brilliant.
Fellini-esque.
So, yeah, Juve... Again, making an easy game out of what should have been a much tougher fixture.
Yeah, and they remain 3 points clear, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Juventus, 31 points. AS Roma, 28 points.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Math.
Napoli, on the other hand, with a 3-3 roller coaster of a match.
They really blew this.
Yeah
they were up 2-0, then
against Cagliari.
2-2. Yeah, 2-0, 2-2. And then 3-2, they were up and threw that lead away as well, so...
Higuain and Cajon still playing very well, but it's at the back where they're finding issues, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe they should play Radosevic.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, well, at least they're in third place, even though they're 6 points behind second place.
Champions League spot. I mean, they're keeping that spot away from the two Milans who played today in the Derby Milano or whatever.
Derby della Madonnina?
Not Madrid. No, it's
Derby della Milano.
Milanista. Wow. Milanista. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Derby Milanista.
Drops the conch.
What's a conch?
Never.
Okay. Right. So yeah, the two Milans play today. I actually watched that game start to finish. It was the first time in a while that I've watched a full Serie A game.
Serie A.
The atmosphere was buzzing. Yes. The stadium was packed. Both teams were just really up for the fight. You could see it. And Milan actually looked pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah.
Torres didn't. But obviously. Menez did, El Shaarawy did. The back four from Milan looked very good.
You pointed out Zapata.
Zapata and Mexis had a really good game at centre-back.
Which is rare for Mexis.
Yes, but Zapata looked really assured. Mm. Adel Rami was playing right-back. He's huge.
Yeah, he's a unit.
Yeah.
And not the most mobile
player. No, not at all.
You'd think he's a couple of units. but Milan's best player is Keisuke Honda.
Which
was
Milan?
He on the pitch? Sorry, AC Milan.
Yeah, he subbed on.
Is that an objective statement or is that just your opinion?
I think he's their most creative player up front.
Okay.
He's pretty good. I'm surprised he got dropped, to be fair, this game. He got dropped and came on at the end, but even Osvaldo didn't start for Inter.
Yeah.
Palacio did.
Played Mancini's well. First game, too.
Mancini's back at Inter. Both teams are very close to each other, so I think AC Milan were in 8th and Inter were in 9th, and they were 17 and 16 points, respectively.
Apart, yeah.
Yeah, we did bill it as the Battle of the Incompetence.
The Battle of the Incompetence.
I mean, I really did enjoy the game, to be fair. It was very interesting.
And Menez's goal was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, man, the cross from El Shaarawy and then the finish from Menez. Menez
just cushioned it.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe El Shaarawy had a one-on-one late on in the game and hit the bar.
Oh, my God.
Much to your...
Yes, we do our predictions every week, and I predicted 2-1 AC Milan. Yeah. And El Shaarawy was straight on goal, 80-something minute. I'm like, it's done. He actually does really well. He puts it up above the goal. He doesn't panic and just clips the bar.
The Welbeck school of one-on-ones.
Hey, it was the Egyptian half of him.
The Welbeck in Italy.
Right, speaking of all these misses, I think we should move on to the scouting report.
Yeah, who's missing this week? Let's find out. Future England captain Jordan Henderson.
Technically inept thug.
Thug?
He just thugs around the field. Like he just don't like him.
The embodiment of the English game.
And so to La Liga.
To La Liga we go.
Yes. Atletico Madrid... Not finally, but winning. They've been kind of up and down. But beat Malaga 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, probably three set pieces or corners.
Well, we were looking at the scores and it was like, I think Mahana asked me whether they were corners. I was like, well, Godin scored, so probably at least one.
He scores so much. If there was a fantasy team
for La Liga, I would definitely put Rudy. Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, you'd probably also put Koke on there, because Koke is the leading assister in Europe with 13 assists.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty well for Atletico, to be fair.
Yeah.
And now he's, I mean, pushing his way into the Spanish squad, too.
Yeah, well, he's starting games for Spain. And while we're on it, Griezmann, who scored as well.
He's been incredible.
Yeah, he's very consistently producing this
season. Yeah.
I mean, Atletico is still there in terms of the table. They're third. 2 points behind Barcelona, who are 2 points behind Real Madrid.
It's still
order.
Pretty
order
good.
Has been restored.
Order has been restored. Yeah.
Order.
For the next game, Eibar.
Yeah, speaking of order being restored, Real Madrid winning 4-0, which is like their favorite scoreline.
That's a standard result.
It was a standard result, but even though Real Madrid were very dominant in this game, they were given a boost by the linesman. I think Benzema was like marginally offside for his first goal.
Granted, but ultimately, how much does that matter?
I mean, yeah, you can make that argument, but.
I mean, they score four, regardless.
They score four regardless.
So, James, with
a good
game. They
don't need favors.
No.
Bale, with a great free kick. It's nice to see that Ronaldo's letting Bale take all the ones on the right. Like, it used to be like, no, this is my house, you know, but now he's starting to realize that Bale's free kicks are pretty good.
They are very good, and maybe Ronaldo's like, you know what, I'm still getting enough goals.
Yeah, exactly. He has like 25 in all competitions, 20 in the league. That's insane. That's like third of the way in, he keeps going at 60 goals this season.
Yeah. Ronaldo's he's changing his game in a way. He's becoming more of the like the player of players' player.
Right.
As in, he'll play in other players to play himself in to those
eventually
goal scoring positions.
Yeah, that's true.
He's helping them to help him.
He's exactly. Yeah. It's like I got my hand in your pocket. But Bale is now taking the free kicks, which means that Bale's now taking over that power role.
Yeah. So, it is nice to see that Ronaldo is giving up a little bit. I mean, because usually he is very dominant.
I like, you know, often when you see foreign players go to Spain, especially English ones, they all tend to grow their hair and then start wearing an Alice band.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the effort to assimilate, but it just doesn't work on Gareth Bale.
No.
Stop
it's a shame that Gareth Bale is Welsh.
Why?
Because you said English players.
Oh, British.
Come see, come saw, whatever.
And I also have one question about Eibar. Are they owned by Apple?
Never thought of that.
A very good one.
Nice. How long have you been sitting on that one?
A long time.
A week, eh?
He held that back. No, there was a moment in this game where a Real Madrid defender, I couldn't see who he was, but he kicked the ball straight into the television camera.
Well, that's why you couldn't see it.
Just totally knocked me out.
Nice. Probably Pepe.
it was one of the center backs, that's for sure.
Barcelona, this was a pretty important game. I mean, Sevilla, supposed to be hard opposition.
Fourth in the table.
Yeah.
Fifth in the table, actually.
Barca winning 5-1.
Yes.
But no one cares. The highlight was Messi getting his goal to beat the all-time record of goal scoring in La Liga.
Thrown up on people's shoulders.
Guys, at 27. Yeah. I mean, you like him, you hate him, you know. You like Ronaldo, you hate him. You got to give these guys their props. They are producing unbelievable numbers, and it's incredible to see. His first free kick, like his first goal, was a brilliant free kick.
It was a brilliant free kick.
He was also getting favours from Neymar. I mean, we were talking about Real Madrid not needing favours, but at some point Messi slid Neymar in and he could have easily finished it. Square ball. And then Messi nicked it off Suarez's
toes.
Come
on, man.
I think Messi's goal, the third goal, was the best goal.
It was a Messi goal.
It was the embodiment of Messi.
Yeah, the one where he always like plays it into the holding player, like an Eto'o back in the day, and then give it back, and then boom, bottom corner.
But at speed, he got it with his right leg, and in that one move, it was set up for his left foot.
That was the best part of the goal, because the ball wasn't perfect from Neymar, but he brought it back with his right onto his path in
one touch, second touch, finish, goal.
Yeah. Brilliant.
This is how he do.
This is how he does.
Yeah, so...
That's how he did.
Yeah, I mean... Guys, are we gonna like include Real Sociedad now every week
just
because Moyes is their manager?
Absolutely. Well, solid 0-0 result.
Solid. Given the tough circumstances that they had, I heard that there was bad weather in La Coruña. Scottish weather, in a way.
Very much at home.
Yeah.
But the best moment of this game was when I think the Deportivo assistant coach was running towards David Moyes on a touchline.
Why?
After, I think it was a offside call that was questionable or something.
Maybe he's like, who's this? What is he doing here?
And Moyes is just sort of not even looking at him. He's kind of looking at it over his shoulder. While this guy's young.
Dismissing
just,
him,
Dismissive, just like, hey, sit down, buddy.
Yeah. Hey. And then he got a red card.
Moyes goes to his translator, tell him to sod off.
Tell him in Spanish to sod off.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
It's pretty much what happened in La Liga. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Wins for all the top three.
Well, next weekend we got a big game, which is Valencia versus Barcelona.
Yes.
And that is a Catalonian derby.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not.
Valencia is in Catalonia.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's on the same coast.
It's in Andalusia.
You sure? It says here on the piece of paper. Yeah. Both Catalonia.
That's because Rochelle wrote it. Valencia is not in Catalonia.
All right, geography aside.
Is anyone else? Yeah, there is one more in Catalonia. Is it?
It's Espanyol.
Espanyol, yeah, that's right.
I hate, yeah. It's quite possible that they're in Andalusia, not Catalonia.
It's probable.
Very good, Alex.
Sorry, if anyone learned that in the day, they learned this, which is great.
So yeah, we got a Valencia, Barcelona away at the Mestalla, and we got Malaga home to Real Madrid.
Yes.
Real Sociedad home to Elche, so Moise's first home game.
I love how we're going to include this Real Sociedad in every part now.
It's exciting. It was like when, what's his name? McLaren was at Wolfsburg.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you watched it for the first few weeks, like, how's he going to do? Oh, badly. Okay, never mind.
Moving on, yeah. Well, there was also the small matter of MLS playoffs this week.
Quite a large matter, in fact.
Well, yeah, some would say so.
Not Mohamed, but other people.
Other people would say so, yes.
No, we had a sold-out stadium in, I think it was the Red Bull Stadium in New Jersey. Witnessing the New York Red Bulls home to the New England Revolution. This is the first leg of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And the Red Bulls dominated this game, but ultimately came up short.
Yeah, they pulled a bit of an Arsenal there. They dominated, had plenty of chances, missed a lot of them, and then lost 2-1.
The big talking point was Wright Phillips' goal. It was not called offside because people forget that the offside rule states that you need to have at least two defenders between you and the goal, between the attacker and the goal. And in this case, the goalie came so far out that when the, I think it was, who was it? Nandula or whatever.
Bradley Wright Phillips?
No, it was Nierna.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, so he played it in. He's awful. He played it in, and then Wright Phillips was behind the defender. So technically, you know, people, but the goalie wasn't there, so it was offside.
And this version of the rule is only very rarely seen.
Very rarely
because
seen.
The goalie was so far outside.
Yeah. Goalie's usually on his line, so he counts as the second guy, and then we always just look at the defender.
Yeah.
But now when the goalie is so far out, there's not a second defender.
Definitely a very astute observation by Mohamed. Alex and I were both sitting here saying, hey, we stand corrected.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
We learned something about the offside rule today.
And there was also the second goal for, New England. Was slightly offside, slightly not, like it was very close call. To
could have gone either way, Clive.
Yeah. Could have, yeah, but a brilliant goal to open the game by New England.
Oh, yeah.
Curling inside the
that
far
was
post.
A wonderful strike.
And yeah, so Fun New England. Brilliant. New England have the home advantage in the next game as well as the two away goals.
I like that the MLS now is doing away goals because it's new. They didn't always do this.
Yeah. And the other game was the LA Galaxy and the Seattle Sounders.
Is that going on right now as we speak?
As we speak, it's going on. It was 0-0 the last time we checked. Okay. But next weekend will be the second legs, and the winner of this will play for the ultimate trophy.
The MLS Cup.
I think last time we checked, the game hadn't started. It makes sense that it was 0-0.
Yeah. No, it was 0-0 at halftime.
Oh, was it halftime?
Yeah,
it was. Oh,
already?
Apologies.
Galaxy haven't scored yet. It's been like 45 minutes of play.
Well, both these teams were 1-2. Actually, I think Seattle actually ended up being number 1.
Aren't these guys that kept playing each other like at the end of the season? Like twice
they played each other in the Supporters' Shield.
Yeah. Seattle won the Supporters' Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is possibly one of the best names for a trophy around. And by best, I mean worst.
Supporters' Shield. Seattle Sounders Supporters' Shield.
Awesome. Try saying that 100 times.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to have to end this podcast in a very special way today.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.